everybody. My name is David Vance, and you may be wondering who I am. That's okay. Some days I wonder who I am as well. As I make my way through this increasingly demented world. So here's a quick summary of me for those who are interested. When I was much younger, I accidentally stumbled into the world of party politics before realizing just how toxic an environment that really is. Still, the experience lingers, and I even wrote a book about it called Unionism Decayed. I got to understand firsthand that Winston Churchill got it right when he had to correct a colleague and insist that those sitting on the parliamentary benches in front of him were his opponents, but his enemies were those of his own colleagues sitting around him and behind him. 21 years later, I took the wisdom of Sir Walter Scott and started my first blog called A Tangled Web, from the famous line, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive," which was and remains a dissenting view of US and UK politics. I've always been fascinated by the political scene on both sides of the veritable pond, and this has remained with me over those 21 years. Enthused by this, I started another blog called biasedbbc.org to hold the British national broadcaster to account for its profound anti-British left-wing bias. My relationship with the mainstream media could be summed up as being similar to that between a dog and a lamppost. That said, I have actually, believe it or not, appeared on many national UK TV and radio political programmes over the years, before being gradually removed from their hallowed portals for not towing the narrative. Oh dear. Well, a good thing too, actually. Who wants to sell their soul for a mess of media? In the intervening years, I've developed a substantial social media following, particularly on Twitter, until the digital hate mob came for me in September of 2020. Imagine expressing fiercely conservative opinion on social media. What was I thinking? That said, I have diversified across all the new challenger tech platforms that permit free debate and free speech. I'm also the co-founder of altnewsmedia.net back in 2018, which is an online forum, again, helping to provide a voice for many of those shut out from the legacy degenerate media. I believe that we should consider all issues on their individual merits. And that means being prepared to critique without fear or favour. The older I get, the more I am reminded of that line, of the fact that the line of least resistance is a fast track to hell and should be avoided at all costs. I instinctively don't follow it, and I think it's healthy to follow my own instincts. Essentially, my facts don't care about your feelings. All of this brings me to now, to today. I'm really excited to be teaming up with Alana Mercer to bring you our weekly podcast. Now, there will be many of those of you who already know Alana, and that you'll understand that she's one of her foremost thinkers, a truly wonderful writer, and I can't imagine a better person for me to team up with. There's a line in my favorite song that says, "Don't start me talking, I could talk all night." Well, I can't say our podcast will last that long, but they will tackle the big issues with passion and without fear. That's what you'd expect from Alana and myself, and I hope you'll enjoy that. So please make sure that you follow us. Please subscribe to our podcast channel. Please share our podcast channel, and let's get the debate going. Thank you so much for listening.
Hello, Patriots. My name is Alana Mercer. I've written a paleo-libertarian weekly column for two decades, in which firmly held first principles and a reality-based analysis have combined to yield a pretty predictive and fun bit of writing on the most controversial and pressing issues of the day. From race, racism, to trade deficits, to anarchism, to immigration, to populism, as a valued reader put it, we've learned to trust you. For 21 years, these first principles have been applied to the day's events with verb, vim, and a good deal of muscular style. However, as an English letter writer to London's Times Literary Supplement once put it, Mercer eats nails for breakfast. This doesn't sit well with me, at least not always. I had never imagined people would think a writer is an ogre simply because she uses the English language as it was once meant to be used with deadly precision. Have they not read our American anti-federalists? They were brutal. But that's my written work. The pleasant surprise element comes in these polite, rapport-filled sessions with my colleague David Vance. It is here that the person, not the prose, gets to make an appearance. Another reader, and I have many loyal and bright readers, framed the muscular style less pejoratively. A few years ago, I said you wrote like a man. Well, now I think you also think like one. Since no woman wants to be thought of as a man on all fronts, I'm happy for the chance to appear in person, said a former and formative influential editor of mine from the Canadian press when it was free. In your columns, you're a take-no-prisoner demon. In your videos, you are gentle and composed, your demeanor proper enough to be conversing with a queen. These provocative yet genial, gentle and collegial conversations we have allow me, the writer, the demonic writer, the person, not the polemicist, to show herself. As to my views, I'm a libertarian of the hard right. Lots of libertarians refer to themselves as neither left nor right. I've never done that. I'm a woman of the right. Yet another clever reader put it thus, she's so right, as in right wing, that she's a little bit left. That is exactly as it should be. Certainly before Trump, my typically old right anti-war position got me called a lefty by neoconservative readers and editors. Another facet of my thinking that elicits the same lefty pejorative is that I'm never party-centric. Seeking immutable truth in a postmodern environment in which truth is devalued and rendered relative and subjective demands transcending crass, opportunistic party politics. Self-evident truths are axiomatic truths. They are propositions that cannot be denied when squared with reality, with the reality around us. So reality is my guide. I like to say that reality is the rational man's anchor, and that the strength of ideas rests on their relationship to reality. My own ideas are intricately tethered to reality, which is likely why they have stood the test of time. As mentioned, I've burned as hot as a Babylonian kiln against the Uncle Sam's wars of aggression. Wage wars, not wars, I like to say. Indeed, I have always been as resolutely against America's open borders as I am against her sanctimonious, poisonous spreading of democracy around the world by prosecuting illegal, immoral, unconstitutional wars of aggression all over. The motto on my eponymous website is verbal swordplay for civilization. Nevertheless, I'm not squeamish. The Jewish sages, who were ironically pacifists in exile for 2,000 years, counseled, and I quote, "He who rises to kill thee, you rise a little earlier, dot, dot, dot." The viewers can complete the sentence. We here fear our deep tech overlords. Finally, why do I call myself a paleo-libertarian? This is my idiosyncratic take. It's how I've applied certain principles week in, week out for years. In my definition, a paleo-libertarian grasps that ordered liberty has a civilizational dimension, stripped of which other foundational libertarian principles by which all decent people should actually live, these won't endure. This is precisely the reason for the institutional rot around us, where liberty and citizen sovereignty are crumbling as fast as our buildings. By central planner design, America has been turned into a territory for trade and nothing more. It is no longer a nation. Other than commerce and consumption, the glue, the fellow feeling that binds us together has been dissolved by DC design over decades. But there is life after politics, and this is where myself and David Vance come in.